Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamotzi Tevin, Kimlo Piapara. That one who takes out straw has to take out the amount that would fill the mouth of a cow, because that was the normal feed for a cow, and therefore its shi'ur for carrying is determined by the normal size that one would take out to feed a cow. Eitzah, which the Gemara will explain later, is the stalks of kitnit, of legumes, Kimlo Piagamal. That is feed for a camel, and therefore the amount that you would be culpable for if you carried out is the amount that would fill the mouth of a camel. Amir, which as Rashi describes over here, is kashin shel shibalim, the ears of corn, or soft straw, is mlei plitleh, the amount that would fill the mouth of a lamb, because that is the normal feed for a lamb. Asabim, herbs, kamlo pigdi, to fill the mouth of a goat, or really a kid. Ale shum, the leaves of garlic, vale bitzalim, and leaves of onions, lachim, if they are moist, then they are ra'ui, they are edible foods for humans, and therefore the shiur will be grogeret, the size of a fig, which is the standard default size of food items to be carried out for human consumption. Yiveshim, on the other hand, if they're dried out, then they are feed for the goats, and therefore you'd have to take out lo pi gedi, the amount that would fill the mouth of the goat or the kid. Ve'ein mitztarfim ze im ze. They are not able to add together. These different food items do not add together in order to come up with a single shiur, because their shiurim are different. We'll see in the Gemara later, and Tosavot already points out here, that when we say that they are not mitzdareif because their shiur is not equal, that number one means if their shiur is equal, they would be mitzdareif. And number two is, which the Gemara will say later on, that the one that is more chamur, if you have a more stringent shiur, that which requires normally a larger shiur, can be mitzdareif, the item that requires less of a shi'ur. Now the Gemara continues, Ma Eitzah. What is this Eitzah that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that is the feed for camels? Am Rabbi Huda, Tevin, Shalmine Kitnit, is the straw of the legumes, straw of the peas, and that is what is considered to be feed for the gamal, and its shi'ur is gamalo pi gamal, the amount that would feed the mouth or fill the mouth of a camel. Ki'ata Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, throughout Shas, we have this type of memra where Rav Dimi and Ravin used to come from Eretz Yisrael and report the learning in Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Most of the time they were bringing memrot in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who is a central figure in the learning in Eretz Yisrael as well as the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan was blessed with a long life, and therefore he extends over many generations of Amoraim in the Yerushalmi. Actually makes it somewhat difficult sometimes to place or time the generations or the chronology of the Amoraim in the Yerushalmi, because the usual way that you do it is by with whom the Amora appears together with. From that you can deduce what are the strata of Amoraim through the generation. Problem is that Rabbi Yochanan appears with many of the Amoraim in the Yerushalmi, because he lived such a long life and crosses over many generations, and therefore it's somewhat difficult sometimes to determine exactly the chronology of the Amoraim and the Yerushalmi. Nevertheless, we have reports from these individuals who are coming from Eretz Yisrael with the memrot that they had heard from Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Dimi comes and says, "Emotzi tevin kamlo pi para," that a person who takes that straw, that is the amount that fills the mouth of a para, ligamal. But he didn't do it for a para, for a cow. Instead, he did it for a gamal. So he's taking about the amount or the shi'ur that would be ra'ui for a para, but yet he's using it for feed for a camel, which it's not ra'ui for. The reason that the Mishnah gives these different animals is because this feed is particular to that animal. Tevin, straw, is used for a cow. Itzah is used for a gamal. Over here, he's taking out straw, tevin, for the gamal. But he takes out a sufficient shiur that it would feed or successfully feed a para, a cow. Yochanan amar chayav. Yochanan says, you're chayav in that case. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, you're patur. Bu'urta amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. At night, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tzafra, in the morning, he got up, hadarbe. And he reversed his position and said, like Reish Lakish, which is that it's patur. Amar Rabbi Yosef Shapir avad the hadar. Rabbi Yosef says it's a good thing that he retracted his position. It's pretty obvious that this should not work, because his intent here is to take this out for feed for a camel, and tevin does not work as feed for a camel because they don't eat it. No, just the opposite. That his original position makes more sense. Because he took out enough that was re'uya for a para. And since it's re'uya for a para, even though he's trying to feed it to a gamal, which is not its feed and it's not significant to the camel, he took out a shiur that was re'uya for a para. Ela ata Ravin. So now we have Ravin, instead of Rav Dimi, coming, reporting this memra of Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Hamotzi tevin kamelo pipara. Someone who takes out straw, the amount that would fill the mouth of a cow, ligamal. He took it out for a camel. To kule amelo plige de chayav. Everybody agrees you're chayav in that case, like the logic of Abaye, which is that you've met the minimum threshold of shi'ur. Even though now you're taking it out for a camel, nevertheless you have sufficient amount that would feed a para, and that should be enough to make you culpable. Ki plige, where do Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlakish argue? But motzi etza kamlo pi para, le para. When he takes out etza, which is normally feed for a camel, but he takes it out for a cow, but he doesn't just take out enough to fill the mouth of a camel, he takes enough to fill the mouth of a cow. The ipchaidmar, and their positions are reversed. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan says you're patur in that case. Rish Lakish amar chayav. Rabbi Yishlakish says you will be chayav. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan says you're patur. Because achila yedei dechak lo shmei achila. It's true that the feed that is used for camels, this itzah, is normally not eaten by parot. And it is true that parot, cows in desperate need, who are very hungry, might actually eat this camel feed. But nevertheless, it's not the norm. Since it's not the norm, Rabbi Yochanan says you are patur, even though you took out the etzah, which would be eaten under duress by the cow, and you took enough out to fill the cow's mouth, nevertheless you're patur because eating under duress is not considered to be eating. So Fod points out that this is not a global statement, it's here as a statement with regards to Hilchot Shabbat. There are other instances, for instance, legabei nizakin, by damages, where achila yedei achak will be considered achila and will not be considered something that's an unusual behavior of the animal. Rish Lakish amar chayav. The Lakish says you are culpable in this case because achila yedei achak shma achila. Because eating under duress or in situations where the animal would not normally eat this food, but if pressured or hungry it would eat it, that is called achila. And therefore, if you carry out sufficient amount of etzah to fill the mouth of a para, you will be chayav because in certain circumstances a para would consume that type of feed. The Gemara says, Amir, that is mentioned in our Mishnah, which is the Kashim Shel Shibolim, ears of corn or soft straw. Over there we said that it has to be the size, Kamlo Pitle, has to be the amount that would fill the mouth of a lamb. Mahatanya, don't we have a brayta that says it's Krugo Geret, size of a fig. Gemara says, Idi Vidi Chad Shiurahu, they are a single Shiur. Tosafot points out, why didn't the Mishnah just then say Kigro Geret? Because then we wouldn't know how the Mishnah came to that shiur. Krogeret is normally a size or shiur for human consumption. Over here, we're not discussing human consumption. So therefore, the Mishnah gave us the amount of a mouthful of a tleh, which is equivalent to a krogeret, to explain to us what the derivation of that shiur is. Elei shum v'lei b'tzalim lachim krogeret, v'eshim k'lei b'yagdi, v'eim istarfim zeim zeh, b'ibnei shalo shavu b'shirem. They're not able to be mitzdareif because they all have different shiurim. Am Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, this is what we mentioned in the Mishnah, Ein mitzdareif lechamor shebehen. They cannot be mitzdareif to the one that requires a more stringent shiur, meaning a larger shiur. Avo mitzdareif lekal shebehen. But if they require a smaller shiur, the one that regards a larger shiur could be mitzdareif to them. Kol delo shavu b'shiurayu mi mitzdarfin. Wait a minute, why should that work? When we have things that do not have an equal shiur, are they mitzdareif? Whether it's the chumra or the kula, v'atznan. Don't we have a Mishnah in Kelim that tells us what the minimum shiurim are for different materials? A beged, cloth, which is usually made out of wool and linen. Gimel al gimel. It has to be 3x3 tefachim at minimum in order to be mikavel tuma. Vasak, sackcloth, which is usually made out of the goat's hair. Talad al dalad. It has to have a minimum shiur of 4x4 tefachim. V'ho'or, skins, hides, leather, has to have a minimum shiur of hay al hay, 5x5 tefachim. Mapetz, which is a mat or reed mat, vav al vav, has to be 6x6 tefachim. V'tani ala. And on that, we have a qualification of that mishnah. It says, habeged vasak, sak v'ho'or. Ha'or v'mapetz, mitztarfim zeim zeh. They are able to be mitzareif one to the other. So over here you see, just because they have different shiurim, doesn't mean that they're precluded from being mitzdareif. So why in our Mishnah are we coming to this conclusion that just because they have different shiurim, they cannot be mitzdareif? Over here we have a Mishnah with different shiurim in it, and yet we still say that they are mitzdareif over here. Now, when we say over here the qualification that they are mitzdareif, Tosafot says that the tziruf is very particular. The qualification says, habeged vasak, comma, sak v'or, v'or v'amepitz. You see here that it's only the item that's next to it in the Mishnah. So beged and sak are together. Sak and or can go together. Or and mepitz go together. Only those items will be mitzdareif. And Tosfot says it's a practical reason because those are mitchaber. They connect to each other. But other items, if you took the beged and the mepitz, since they would not weave together, they would not be able to be connected together, they would not be mitzareif. So Tosfot says that this qualification is exact and is pairing up the items that would be mitzareif. On the other hand, there are mifarshim, it's possible that even Rashi says this here, that say that the Tani Allah is just giving you the examples through the Mishnah, but it means that anything in the Mishnah can be mitzareif. What's the reason that they are mitzareif? So the answer as to why this Mishnah allows these items to be mitzareif is because they all have a common shi'ur together, which is litamei b'moshav. They can be metamei when it's sat on. If it's used for a patch on a mardat, on the saddle or the blanket of a donkey, then a shear of one by one, tefach by tefach, would be sufficient as a patch. And since it's being designated for use to be sat on, that would be qualify as the minimum shiur. And since they have this common denominator of a common shiur, that's what allows them to be mitzareif. So now Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hanina's position is somewhat precarious, because here the Mishnah states the only reason that they can be mitzareif is because they share a common denominator. So here Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hanina, how does he have a common denominator to allow them to be mitzareif over here? He's making a statement that the Chamur Shebehen can be mitzareif l'Kahal Shebehen. Is that really true? Because they don't have a common denominator. They don't have something that would join them together. Now, in terms of the tefach by tefach being a shi'ur, a minimum shi'ur that allows them to mitzareif, Rashi claims that if you take two of these materials and put them together to create something that's a tefach by a tefach, therefore, it would be mekabel tumah. So what you see from the qualification is that these items are mitzareif together because they can be put together and then have a tefach by tefach shiur. They can be used together for a common shiur. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. That since they share a common shiur where they could be mitzareif, where they could join together in that shiur, that's what allows them to be mitzareif. Had it not been for that, it would not be mitzareif. On the other hand, Tosafot says that this has nothing to do with putting multiple materials together. Even a single material of one by one tefach would be mekabel tuma. The proof of the fact is that they actually share a common shiur. They all have the same shiur of tefach by tefach. The fact that they can combine together, Tosafot already told us, is a practical issue. It's a question of what is mitchaber, and that's why Tosafot before said that only items that are next to each other in that Mishnah are mitzareif, because they're the only types of materials that join together. So that's not what the qualifications come to teach us, that they can be put together. Qualifications come to teach us that they have a common shiur, a common denominator over here. Now Tosafot does also point out that the Mishnah we quoted from Kelim is really a shorthand for the Mishnah that's really found in Kelim. And in Kelim, the Mishnah distinguishes between what we call Tumat Ameit and Tumat Midras, which is that these shiurim with regard to a begel 3x3 tevachim is for Tumat Midras. On the other hand, for Tumat Ameit, it's 3x3 etzba'ot. The other items here, their shiurim, are equal both for midras, which is items that are designated for sitting on or laying on, as well as for a tumat ameit. And the qualification of the Gemara is, why is the tumat ameit here mitzareif? Because by tumat midras, we don't have a question. Because by tumat midras, there really is no minimum shiurim as long as you meet the qualification that it can be sat on. So over there, it's no question if they designate it to be sat on, that they could all be mitzareif. The question in the Gemara is by Tumat Ameit, where there is no common denominator, nothing that can join them together, what allows us to be mitzareif them for Tumat Ameit? And that, the Gemara's answer is because they share this common denominator of Tumat Moshav, which has this Tevach by Tevach Shiur for all of them. Again, according to Rashi, that means they can be joined together to make that Tevach by Tevach. According to Tosafot, it means just that they have the same Shiur. Since they have the same Shiur, that common denominator allows them to be mitzareif. But what you see from this is, it's only because they have this common shiur together that allows them to mitzareif. Of an ein ra'uy litamei moshav lo. Had they had not had this common shiur together, they would not have combined. And so therefore, how does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hanina make his statement that they are mitzareif here when it's the chamur to the kal? The answer is, amarava hachanami, in our case also, there is a common denominator, which is chazia ledugma, that they are ri'uim for samples to show the customers. According to Rashi, it'll have the same meaning as we had over here, which is that the multiple items can be put together to create a sample. Just like before, multiple items can come together to make up the tefach by tefach for tumat moshav. So to over here, the samples can be all put together in a single display. And therefore, since they have the same shi'ur, l'dugma, that common denominator will make it that they can be mitzareif. Tosafot, the Shitoto, again says, has nothing to do with the fact that they can be combined together, but rather with the same shi'ur. By Moshav, the common denominator is that they all have a shear of tefach tefach. Over here, the dugma, we'll see later on, in the Masechta, that a dugma requires a koshu, any amount. And so since they share that common shiur for a dugma, therefore they can be mitzteref in other areas, since there is one area where they do share a common shiur. Now we continue with the Mishnah. Hamotzi ochlim kugogeret chayav. A person who takes out ochel, the size of a kugogeret, the size of a fig, is chayav. Umitztarfim zeim zeh. And the different food items can be combined, mipnei shavu b'shirayim, because they share a common shiur. Since they share the common shiur, they can be mitzreif. So you can have two food items put together that make up the size of a fig, as long as they're edible for humans, then they'd be mitzreif, and you'd be chayav v'hotza'a. Chutz, what's included in the size of a fig, is the food item itself. What is not included is klipatan, their shells, garinehem, their pits, uksehem, their stalks, v'subanu marsan. Subana is the husks. As Rashi says, it's the klipat chitim, it's the outer shell of the wheat that comes out when you pound it. Umursanan is the coarse bran, which remains in the sieve or the sifter when the grain is being cleaned or nivrar, selected. So it's the husks or the thin bran and the coarse bran. Those items are not included in the shi'ur of a gruger because these are items that are not eaten. The shells, the pits, the stalks, and these other items are not eaten. Excluded from this is the thin shell of the lentils, because even though you take off the outer shell of the lentils in order to eat them or cook them, the thin shell that's around the lentils are left on when you cook it, and therefore they become a part of the food, and they're counted as part of the shiur, because they're not considered to be inedible or extraneous to the food. Mara says, v'subanu mursanan lo mitztafin. Is it really true that the husks and the coarse bran are not mitztareif? Atnai, we have a Mishnah. Hameshit rivaim kemach v'od chayvim b'chala. Five log, or really it's 5 quarters, 1 1/4 kav of kemach, and a little more is chayav b'chala. We saw this early in the Masechta, that is the minimum shiur that one has to need in order to be chayav in chala. And so that shiur is determined by hain, the item, the dough, the wheat itself, visubanu mursanan, including the husks and the bran, they are counted towards that shiur. So why over there by chala they counted towards the shiur, and here for Shabbat they're not counted towards the shiur? So Marabaye, I'll explain that to you, because a poor person will eat basically whole wheat bread. Since a poor person will eat whole wheat bread, that is considered or classified as being a part of the minimum shiur for challah. When it comes to Shabbat, we're not going to be governed by that which the poor person does. We're going to go after Rov Bnei Adam. And Rov Bnei Adam, over here, would not consider this to be ochel, and therefore they will not count towards the shiur for taking it out. By challah, since the ani makes whole wheat bread, so that's enough. But on Shabbat, where we're looking for something that is the standard of the normal shiur, we would not include these items, this whole wheat bread. Now again, that might change today, where it's not only the ani that eats whole wheat bread, but almost everybody would eat whole wheat bread, not white bread. And therefore, maybe the standard has changed today, where these items would be included in the minimum shiur for carrying on Shabbat. Gemara says, "If you do a mer chutz miklipei adashim mit pashlo dimehem, adashim in, is this only true by lentils? Pulim lo, but by beans it's not true. Vatani with a brighter, you do a mer chutz miklipei pulim ve'adashim. It comes to exclude the shelves of both beans and lentils because they are cooked with the items." Gemara says, "Lo kasha, that's not a problem. Habacharati, habatike. That depends on how new or old the shell is around the bean." Atiike may time alo. The new ones would cook a new picked bean with the clean shells on it. One would cook the bean together with the shells, and therefore it would be mitzareif. In our Mishnah, where he only mentions the adashim, is talking about things that have aged a little bit, and therefore you would not count the shells of the beans. So the Gemara wants to know, why is it that the shells of the beans do not count when they've aged or a little older? Amar Rabbi Bo, mipnei shenirin kizvuvim bikara. Because they turn black, or they have black dots in them, and it looks like there are flies in the food. So because of that, people take those shells off, because they don't want people to be wary of their food, because it looks like that there are flies in there, therefore they remove the shells. So our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda only mentions lentils, was talking about these aged lentils, or aged beans. Beans won't count there, because you would not leave the shells on. Lentils do count, because you would leave the shells on. But with newer beans, or newer lentils, where both, in that case, both of them, the shells would be left on, Enochanami, that's what the Brayta says, or Behuda says, they would count towards a food because they would be cooked together with it. With that, we end the perek. Now we begin the new perek. Hamotzi yain kidei mizigat kos. Person takes out wine, it has to be sufficient to dilute in order to make a cup. The Gemara will discuss this in 1 second, how much of raw wine you need in order to make up a full cup of wine, and that's what you will be culpable for. Chalav, when we're talking about milk, kidei gmiyah, amount that one would normally swallow or gulp down. Tosafot brings another interpretation from the Rabbeinu Parat, that is a melolugmav, that is a cheekful, although he doesn't like that interpretation necessarily. That's another possibility of what this kidei gmiyah is over here. Vash, the amount of honey that you have to carry out, is kidei litein al hakatit, put on a wound. Rashi says what we're talking about here is the wounds on the back of the horses and the camels that they get from carrying their heavy loads. So it is a salve for those types of wounds. On the other hand, Rashi does mention that his rabotai, his rabbeinim, interpreted it to be wounds that were human wounds on the hands or the feet of a human being. And other rishonim, like the Ritva, also think that that's the case. Shemen, the amount of oil you have to carry out, is kedei lasuch eiver katan, is enough to rub or anoint on a small limb. Lamar will explain later on that it's the pinky of a baby. Mayim kedei lashuf behem et akilur. The amount of water you have to take out is water that would be sufficient to mix with the eye makeup or the eye powder to put on or to make it a paste that you could put on the makeup on the woman's eye. V'shar kol ha-mashkim, any other liquid drink, the minimum shiur is a revi'it, is a 1/4 of a log, or the equivalent of a beitza and a half. There are 6 beitza in a log. So a revi'it log, 1/4 of a log, is equivalent to 1.5 beitza. That is the minimum shiur. Just like by food items, the common shiur and the minimum shiur, if we don't have otherwise, is grogeret, the size of a fig. By liquids, that minimum shiur is a revi'it halog. Kol ha-shofichim, all sewage water, birivi'it, is counted towards a revi'it. Again, the Gemara will discuss what you use that for. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon we saw in yesterday's daf, who we said our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon, says, kulan birivi'it. All liquids have the same shiur, which is a revi'it. V'lenemer kol ha-shiurim halalu. So then what are all these shiurim in our Mishnah? Ela lematzniyehem. That the standard or default level for all types of liquids is a revi'it. Unless someone would store such a shiur that is smaller than that. And if that person stores a shiur that's smaller than that, then it impacts them and no one else. They will not be determinant for other people in giving chashivut to this item. The standard or default shiur is a revi'it. People who store items, then there is also a minimum shiur based on that subjective standard, which are now being listed out in the Mishnah, for that person to be culpable. But that will have no impact on anybody else. Just because someone puts away honey to put on the wound of an animal, it doesn't change the fact that the honey's shiur is a revi'it. But that person who stores it for a wound, he will be chayav for that shiur down to the minimum shiur of a wound of an animal. But that won't impact on others. So there is subjectivity here in terms of storage. And these are minimum shiurim for that subjectivity. Again, that's why the Gemara said yesterday that Rabbi Shimon cannot be the author of the previous Mishnah. Because that previous Mishnah on yesterday's daf said, and when it is stored by the majority of people, that changes what the default shiur is, and it impacts on everyone. It's not just for those that store it. It affects everyone who would carry it out. So Tano, our Mishnah says, kidei mizigat kos yafet. We have a Mishnah that has to be enough to dilute a kos. When we're talking about that kidei mizigat kos, it's mizigat kos yafet, a nice cup. My grandma says, my kos yafet. What is a nice cup? Kosh shel bracha. The kos that is used for benching. It's the kos that is used in religious ceremonies. Maran Brachot gives all sort of qualifications for, one of which is that it must contain a revi'it log. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, kosho bracha, tzarich shehebo rova revi'it. A kosho bracha must have in it 1/4 of a 1/4 log, kadeshim zaganu, in order that he can dilute it, yamoto revi'it, and then it will be equivalent to a revi'it. So you must take enough wine that is undiluted, strong, the potent wine, that you will dilute in order to drink it, that would then suffice to make up a revi'it log. And what the statement of Rav Nachman of Ravua says is that amount is revi'it, 1/4 of revi'it log, of 1/4 log. So 1/4 log is the amount of wine you need in order to bench. So in order to dilute the wine to get it to that level, you'd have to take 1/4 of a 1/4, 1/16 of a log worth of undiluted wine, and then pour it in water. Basically, what you're creating here is 3 parts water, 1 part wine. So 3 parts water and 1 part wine together will then be equal to a revi'it log, 1/4 of a log. And that means that the wine here makes up 1/4 of that amount, or 1/4 of a 1/4 log. Amarava, afanana mitanina. We can see this from our Mishnah. What we see from the Mishnah is somewhat subject to machloket here. Rashi says we can see from the Mishnah that the amount of wine that undiluted would be chayav for is a quarter of a quarter. Tosafot says that we don't need that from the Mishnah because that would be self-understood. Rather, how do we know that a kosher bracha requires a revit yayin? That's what the Gemara is trying to bring a proof to. So, Rava, we learned that from the Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, motzi yayin kedei mizigat kot. A person has to take out enough wine in order to dilute it. Betani Allah, kedei mizigat kos yafeh. And on that, we saw that that means the kos. We're talking about here is a kos yafeh, or the kos of Birkat Hamazon, or a kos shel bracha. Tani Seifo. And the latter of the Mishnah says, v'shar kol ha-mashkim b'revit. The remaining mashkim have a revit. So we know that the standard for liquids is a revi'it. And since the standard of liquids is a revi'it, and the beginning of the Mishnah says that you have to take out mizigat kos, the amount that would suffice for mizigat kos, well, what would be the amount that would come up to a kos or to be significant in liquids? That would be a revi'it. So according to Tosafot, that's what Rava is bringing or proving from our Mishnah, that a kosher bracha has that minimum shear of revi'it. On the other hand, Rashi says that the Mishnah is proving that you need a quarter of a quarter log. Because we know that the final amount from our Mishnah is going to be a revi'it, because that's what is significant within liquids. So how do I get from a undiluted or raw wine to have it be a revi'it log? I start out with a quarter of a quarter log. And that shows us that 1/16 of a log of undiluted wine is the minimum shear for carrying out. For Rava l'tamei, and Rava is l'shitato, according to his own shita, which is Dama Rava. Kochama d'lo dari achad t'lat, mayat. Any wine that is not diluted 1 to 3, 1 part wine to 3 parts water, lav chamru, it's not considered to be wine. Now, in terms of what it means not considered wine, that doesn't mean that if it's less diluted, it's not wine. It's just that Rovo says that that is not considered to be wine that he would enjoy or wine that he would normally drink because he didn't like his wine so potent or so strong. But certainly, if someone diluted it less, it still would be classified as wine. It would just be much stronger wine. Rovo is just giving you the maximum amount of water that could still be placed with the raw or undiluted wine, and it would still be classified as wine. And that's 3 parts water to 1 part wine, which is what Rava loved. But that doesn't mean that if it had less than that dilution, it wouldn't be classified as wine. It would be classified as wine. Just that you can't have higher than that dilution, because then it would not be classified as wine. Okay, we'll stop over here. The sugya continues with Abaye challenging that understanding of Rava in the Mishnah.